Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gloria Copeland.
Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Don't you love their singing? Some of you have probably already gotten healed this morning from such wonderful praise of worship. Glory to God. Father, we adore you today. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for all the good that you continually do for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you always come to healing school. You never miss healing school. You always come and you heal people by your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you and we give you all the praise for every healing and every deliverance. Help me, Lord, to deliver the word today and reveal the wonderful blessing of healing, life, goodness that you have purchased and given to us. We set ourselves to receive the word. We're word people, not just in theory, not just in talk, but Lord, we're word people in heart. We take your word. We let it in our eyes and in our ears, and we let it live in our heart, and we believe it. We expect every word of it to come to pass. So thank you for giving me utterance. Thank you for giving revelation to the people, Lord. Talk to them about whatever they need to hear this morning to cause their faith and to stir their faith. We thank you that you're for us. You're always for us. You're holding nothing against us. We're even, Lord, if we've made mistakes, you forgive us. You cleanse us of them. We have nothing to look at that would keep us from being healed this morning because we repent this morning of every situation, every strife, everything that would keep us from receiving our healing because we are walking in love. We walk in love, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for cleansing every person. Perhaps somebody this morning just really had a little tussle with strife, and we just thank you that we're forgiven of that. Nothing will keep us. Nothing will keep us from the love of God this morning. Nothing will keep us, Lord, from receiving our healing, for our confidence is in you. You're the healer. You're the one that bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And so we receive from this moment and even before this moment, during this music, people are receiving, and we thank you for it. We give you all the praise, Jesus, and all the glory for every good thing that happens today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I tell you, God's a good God. And you know, I think it's the Amplified Bible. One translation says, God is extraordinarily patient. And I find that to be true. I mean, we can goof up, mess up, do dumb things. We can go right to the throne of grace, favor, and blessing and be cleansed of it. Is that good or what? So we're going to just talk some about, we've been talking this week about engaging. Some people don't receive because they don't engage in the word and in faith and with their words and with their actions. Well, we're engaging in healing today. We're going to engage in healing. And we're going to receive our healing. And I'm going to show you some. We're going to talk about acting in the spirit of faith, first of all, this morning. I'm going to show you some people that have engaged. And they received, hallelujah. And really, you know, you should be so proficient in healing from the Word of God that you could have a healing service anytime, anywhere. The devil tries to put sickness and disease on you. You should be ready to have a healing service. Just you and Jesus. That's all it takes to have a healing service. But you have to have that word in your heart so that it'll come out. You have to know where the scriptures are so that you can go to them and look it up and put it in your eyes, in your ears. It's the word of God. This is our medicine, Proverbs says. This is medicine. It's medicine to our flesh. Hallelujah. So today we're going to look at some scriptures. And we're going to see, let's just go back to Deuteronomy 30. See, Jesus and the Father have always said the way it is, given us everything we need in the Word, and then it's up to us to receive it. And that receiving part is called faith. But we can do that. Jesus did the work. We just receive it. You know, if somebody brings you a Christmas gift, you don't have to go out and shop for it. You don't have to pay for it. You just receive it. And that's the way it is with healing. So let's look at Deuteronomy 30 and see what he... And that's the way the Father's always been about everything. I mean, he's always given healing. He gave healing to Israel. He told them how to get healed. And here he's talking to Israel. And he's talking to them about things and how to live their life. In Proverbs 30, verse 19, it says... And it comes, let's see. Let me see where I'm going to start. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse. So he laid out, you know, in Deuteronomy 28, the curse, and then he laid out the blessing, and then he said, you choose. This should be an easy test. You choose. And he said, the Lord, if you choose wrong, that's just what you're going to get. But if you choose right, you can live in the blessing. So he put out the whole blessing, and we won't go into it this morning. He put out the blessing that covered everything good. He put out the curse that covered everything bad, including, he named many sicknesses and diseases. But then he said, and every sickness and disease not mentioned in this curse is under the curse. How many of you know they keep coming up with new diseases you never heard of before? Well, God was prepared for that. You can't come up with a new disease that he doesn't consider a curse. And then he said, if you'll do these things, the blessing will come upon you. You'll be blessed in your body. You'll be blessed in the field. Glory to God. Now, Jesus then, in Galatians it says, Jesus, that was talking to the Jews before Jesus came, Jesus himself, say himself. Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, it says in Peter, and it says in the First Covenant. So we know that he bore, in Galatians it says, he bore the curse for us, the whole curse. Under that curse was poverty. It was under that curse was being subservient to other nations, being the tail and not the head. But under the blessing was being the head and not the tail. Glory to God. Above and not below. Well and not sick. And then it says, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Father and Jesus had all of this prepared before ever there was a Garden of Eden or before he ever made man. He had it all prepared that we couldn't mess it up without a lot of effort. Isn't that amazing? Every sickness, every disease under the curse, for all time, for all men, hallelujah, and all women and all boys and girls. So what is our position? Well, it's all in the book. It's like a contract that we've been given. And it tells us what belongs to us. Glory to God. And we agree to that contract. We take that contract. We stand on that contract. If you bought a house and you paid cash for it, and then somebody comes in and says, this is my house, you'd say, no, no, friend. This is not your house. I paid for this house. I paid cold, hard cash. It doesn't belong to me and the mortgage company. It belongs to me. This is my house. I've paid for it. I have a contract to prove it. That's what's happened where sickness and disease and sin and all the whole curse is concerned. Jesus is saying, I paid for it. He didn't pay cash. He didn't pay cash. He paid himself. The sinless one for the sinners. The healed one for the sick. He bore the curse. He took every sickness and every disease in himself. He took every sin in himself. He paid for it. It was spiritual cash. It belongs to him and to whomever will receive him. And that would be me. Jesus himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we are, and one place says we were, so we are healed. Glory to God. We were healed. Spirit? He took the curse of sin. Soul, he took the curse of having mental breakdowns, mental problems, all kind of mental sicknesses. And body, he took the curse. He paid the price for us to have a well body. Hallelujah. You just have to live life his way. I mean, you're not going to have a well body out here in the world, dealing in sin, living like the world, thinking like the world, talking like the world. No. But if you'll take him and you'll do what he says and you'll make Jesus the Lord of your life, you've just made the one the Lord of your life who has paid the price for your well-being, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. So really, where healing's concerned, it's just nothing but receiving on our part. It's already been done. Just like when somebody comes up here and they answer the invitation to be born again, you don't expect them not to receive. You know that if a person comes up here and he makes Jesus Lord of his life, you know God is going to do the doing. And there's no question about it. That person will be born again. Well, the same word that teaches us that teaches us that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. We should be just as convinced of that whoever comes to get healed will receive their healing as we are. That does it matter when somebody comes to get born again? Does it matter how immoral they are? I mean, they could be so immoral. They could be the worst despicable character, murderers, immoral people, all kind of bad stuff. Does it matter when they come to Jesus? Why does it not matter? Because he's already dealt with immoral things. He's already dealt with murder, the sin of immorality and all the different things. He's already dealt with that. He bore the sin. All of it. And so we know that person's going to be born again. Well, we should have the same confidence that when we come to receive healing in our body, because Jesus bore sickness and disease for us at the same time, we should develop until we understand and know, hey, it's the will of God for me to be healed. There's no question about it. I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my body. I'm going to take his healing into myself, into my body. I'm going to confess him as my healer, and I will be healed. Hallelujah. That's how sure it is. It's a covenant. It's a sure thing. He bore our sicknesses, Isaiah says, and Peter repeats it. He bore our sicknesses, and he carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, every time a sickness or a disease tries to come up on you, you need to remember that. You need to go to the Word of God. Go to Isaiah 53 and begin to read what Jesus did for you and what He did for your body. What He did where that sickness you've got's concerned. Hallelujah. Look at Peter where he repeated it. By stripes you were healed. Not going to be healed. We're healed. We are healed. We are healed. It doesn't matter what your body says about it. You're healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. And that's just a fact of the Bible. And we take it as a fact. Amen. So in Deuteronomy, he told them, let's look at Deuteronomy. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Where do I want to see Deuteronomy? Well, just after chapter 30, it's just after he told them about the curse and he told them about the blessing. And he let them know that it was their choice. Their choice. Deuteronomy 30, 11 and 14 says, "For this commandment," this is Moses now talking to them, "for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from you and it's not far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who should go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who's going to go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word." What moves us? The word. What word? The word that God speaks. That we have the privilege and the honor of having in book form and many good translations. Hallelujah. "The word is very near unto thee, it in thy mouth and in thy heart, that you may do it." That's the way it works. "See, I have set before you this day." Now, he had set all the curse, which included every sickness, every disease, and every disease that would ever be. Even those that aren't mentioned in the curse, it said, were covered. "So this day I have set before you life and good and death and evil." He had set all kind of curses that would come up, that had come upon the world, really, through Adam and Eve's transgression. They were there. They functioned. This curse still functions in the world today. All the bad things you can read in Deuteronomy 28 about the curse. Your children will be stolen from you. You'll be sick. You won't live out the number of your... Everything you can think of and then see in the curse is there. Every bad thing you can think of would be covered somewhere in that curse. It was still there. It's still in effect. It's a curse. It's still in effect. If you're not living for God, you're living under the curse. If you're not born again, you're living under the curse. Sin, death, sickness, disease, every sickness, every disease is under that curse. Who wants to live under a curse? I mean, if we had time, we'd go through the whole horrible thing. But I'm telling you, everything bad you can think of is under there. And then you study it out and see. But then it says, the blessing. God gives us the blessing. And it says, "I have set before you," here's what he said in those days, "I have set before you life and death, life and good, or death and evil. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply." He wanted them to live and he wanted them to increase. "And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whithersoever thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shall be driven away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, that you shall surely perish. So they could live in the blessing, or they could perish. Nothing's changed. We can live in the blessing, or we'll perish. Why? Because this curse is still in force. It's still in the world, but after we get born again, we're not in the world. We're in God. We're in the church. We're in His body. So that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, did he stutter? No, he said, you're either in the blessing or you're going to perish. In the curse, you'll perish. You won't live out the full number of your days. All kind of bad things will happen. This is a mean world. There's lots of sickness and disease and mean people to steal, to kill, and destroy. Lots of problems. Lots of money problems out there in the world. But we're not in the world. You know, they talk to us about bad times, hard times. And what causes hard times? Stupid people that don't know God doing stupid things. What causes good times in your life and in my life is our not being stupid, but being wise on the Word of God and obeying God. Now, the blessing is not subservient to the United States government or to any nation. The blessing is between, where I'm concerned, it's between me and the Lord. And you and the Lord. You can be blessed when the whole country is living under the curse of a depression or inflation or whatever's happening in the world. You can be blessed whether a nation's in war or peace. The blessing is still working for you and me. We're blessed. And we cannot be cursed. Glory to God. We're healed, and we cannot be sick. Without our cooperation, if we'll stand on the Word of God, Ken told you, or I told you the other day, we're on up there, you know. We're not on any prescription drugs. We don't have to go get a prescription filled. No. Why? Because we're on the Word of God. We're not sick. We're not weak. Why? We're old enough to retire, but we're not retiring. Why? Because we got things to do. Glory to God. God didn't tell us to retire. He might someday, and I think I could live with that. But it's just not our decision to make, you know. But we're healed, we're whole, we're strong. Why? Because we're on the Word of God. We believe in healing. I believe in healing. I believe in strength. I believe in being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, spirit, soul, body, financially. I believe the blessing of God, because it just says so in the blessing. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll lend to many, but you'll not borrow. Well, you're not going to lend to many without much money. Without many dollars, you can't lend to many. And it says, you shall not borrow. Well, that's not, somebody reads that and says, oh no, I'm ruined. I can't borrow any more money. Well, you can if you want to, but it's not any fun. How many of you know it's no fun to borrow money? You've experienced for yourself. How many of you know it's no fun to have a credit card out of control that you don't pay off every month? You've experienced for yourself. Well, we know it's no fun to be sick. God knows it's not good to be sick. That's why He said sickness is a curse and health is a blessing. Poverty is a curse and health is abundance is a blessing. Glory to God. And we get to choose. says in the scripture, choose you this day who you'll serve. That is an open book test, and you should not fail this test. There is no reason for you to flunk this test. I choose God. I choose blessing over the devil, who never did anybody any good but harm. He harms them. And over the curse of lack, poverty, debt that you can't pay, and so on. God is a good God. So today we're centering up on the healing part. But it all works together, and it all works the same way. So this says, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the earth, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. And then it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, join unto him, be one with him, be in agreement with him. If we want to be free in this life with all the turmoil and curse that's still running wild in the earth all around us, we have to cleave unto God. Okay, if you were up here and I was going to cleave unto you and say, this is your body, I would go. I'd cleave unto you when I go over here. I'd cleave unto you when I go over there. I'd cleave unto you. I'd cleave unto you, and I wouldn't let you go. That's the way you have to do with God. Cleave unto him. I cleave unto Kenneth. I go with him. He goes there and I go there. He goes here and I go here. We cleave to each other. Well, that's the way we're supposed to do with God. Cleave to him. It's not optional. You can't get too busy to do this. You can't get too busy to have the Word of God in your life if you want to live well and you want to live strong and you want to live prosperous supernaturally. And that's the only way to do it. You say, well, I know rich people and they don't live like that. You don't know rich people that don't live like that, that have peace and well-being and blessing. You don't know rich people that are satisfied without God. Rich people, poor people, no difference in this area. They're not satisfied without God. They're searching, they're hungry, they're physically sick, mentally sick, disturbed, no peace. There's not peace without God. Amen? So we choose to cleave to the Lord. If you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're not cleaving. Jesus is the one that obtained peace for you by taking the curse in his own body. And so what do? You turn to him and you say, Lord, I cleave to you. Jesus, I receive you as the Lord of my life. I cleave to you. Glory to God. It's easy. But it requires some effort to cleave to God. If you don't know anything about God, you're not going to be able to cleave to him. You have to find out from the Word what he says about himself. Such scriptures as this, so that you can trust him and know what do you have to do to cleave, to be in union with him, we might say. The Amplified uses that in some places. To be in union with God. That's the same thing as cleaving with him. To be one with him. To agree with him. That's it. Just agree with God. When you see something in the scripture you're supposed to have your eyes on the scripture so that you see things in the scripture. Spend time in the Word. And God said about that, meditate in my Word to Joshua. Meditate in my Word day and night and you'll know how to do. You'll know what to do. You'll know when to do. You'll know. Meditate in the Word day and night. Joshua is a great life to study after because God was giving him a full plate. He was following Moses, the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Joshua had to fill those shoes. And the advice that he got from heaven was this: meditate in my word day and night so that you'll do what is written therein. And that's God's advice to us. That's perfect advice for us. When Ken and I got on the word, we were just dinglings. We didn't know spiritually. We didn't know very much about God at all. But we found out that the key is the Word of God. And we found out from Kenneth Hagin to put the Word of God first place in our lives if we wanted victory, and that's where faith comes from. And so we began to do that. Now, we're still the same people. We're not any smarter in the natural than we were then. But in the supernatural, we found out what God says. And so now, we're wiser, which is more and higher above than knowledge. We're wiser, and of course, you know, you gain knowledge of what? Of God, of what He says, how He says to operate, what He says about sickness and disease. And you just learn. Sickness is of the devil. Healing is of God. Some people think, and used to think, I guess there's still some people that stupid, used to think that healing was of the devil, and you better stand up for sickness and disease. You know, the church is just as messed up as anybody else without reading the Word of God. Glory to God. But we don't have to stay messed up. We've got Scripture. We've got good churches. We've got good pastors and evangelists and prophets and apostles. We've got the whole smear in our day. Good churches where you can go every week and hear the Word of God and grow. And if you say, well, my church isn't like that. Well, that's your fault. I would never go to a church every week that failed to teach me the Word of God. What's the point? Stay home and watch football or something. What's the point if they don't teach you the Word of God? But don't stay home. Find you a church. There's a lot of what we call, and really, you know what? Back before, not many years ago, when Ken and I first began to go to Brother Hagin's meeting, which would be in the late 60s, I guess, there was no term for word church. There was no term. Nobody had ever defined word church. Our word of faith. Word of faith came into, makes you feel old sometimes, but word of faith came into being in my lifetime, in my adult lifetime. Think of what God's done for us in the last 40 years. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about the church. When we first went to Kenneth Hagin's meetings, we lived in Tulsa. Ken was a student at Oral Roberts University. And he would have meetings there in Tulsa. And we would go, after we got connected with him, we'd go to those meetings. And it seemed now, you know, when I look back at it, it seems like it was a big room full of people. But Billy was telling me some time back that Buddy Harrison, before he went to be with the Lord, had told her that room that we all went to, Billy was there, she was new, she was a little Baptist woman that thought tongues was of the devil, you know. And Billy Brim, the exuberant one, is who I'm talking about. And she thought tongues was of the devil. And so we, and Ken and I, we were just, didn't know anything about the Word much. But we were ready. And we were walking in what little light we did have. And we all went over there. And he later told Billy that, you know, that room just seated 150 people. And he'd have these meetings for 3 weeks, as I recall, 3 weeks at a time, several times a year, or maybe even every quarter, in his own building. And people, everybody that would be interested enough to come to town, I don't remember ever not being able to get a seat. Isn't that amazing? See, in our lifetime, people have really taken hold of the message of faith. Aren't we glad that we got to live now? Glory to God. And there were good people. There were good people and good believers and people that loved the Lord. But what was missing? They didn't know how to take hold. They didn't know how to engage. They didn't know how to get things going. They believed the Bible, but they hadn't been taught to take it just literally. If it's in there, you can have it. They would say, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe it's literal. But they hadn't been taught to take hold. So what is that? Faith. They hadn't been taught to engage. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does it go? It goes from out of a mouth, from out of a heart of faith, out your mouth against the situation. They didn't know that back there then. And you know what was prevalent in full gospel circles? Well, God's put that on you to teach you. See, they didn't have any answers without knowing about faith. God's put that on you to teach you something, and it's probably God's will, you know, for you. And we'll just, Lord, bless sister so-and-so as she's going through this tribulation. You're not going to get healed that way. People didn't get healed that way, but they were willing to go through the tribulation of sickness, disease, because they thought it was God's will. But when faith came along, believing what the Word says, sickness and disease got the boot. We kicked it right out with the Word of God. And we found out that Jesus Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by His stripes we were healed. We found out that healing already belonged to us. We found out that prosperity even belonged to us, because it was in the Word, but we'd have to take the Word, put it in our eyes, in our ears, get it in our heart, and say it out our mouth until it came to pass. That has been in our lifetime. Isn't that amazing? How things have evolved and changed. And now there are Word people all over the world. There's faith people and Word churches all over the world. Glory to God. All over the world. I'm telling you, it's exciting to see. So God says, or the Scripture says, let's look at it. I denounce unto you, He said, I've set before you life and good, death and evil. And then it says in verse 18, I denounce unto you this day. Whoops, I skipped a verse. See, I have set before you. This is in the Old Testament, but people just didn't know it. They didn't take it. Just like Moses said it before them, but they didn't take it. Here's God, though. Here's what He says about it through Moses. I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and this is what it still takes today. To walk in His ways and keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now He's laying a choice before the children of Israel. But if your heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be driven away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the earth, upon the land, whither thou passest over the Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, and that thou mayest love the Lord, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days. And then they could dwell in the land. It's our choice to cleave, or, you know, to just be casual about our relationship with the Lord. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good people that just go to church every Sunday, and then they pretty much think like everybody else thinks during the week and act like everybody else acts, and they, they don't know that they don't have to be sick and they don't have to be broke and they don't have to be in debt because they don't know to cleave. Now, when we start cleaving to the Word of God, we get whatever's in there. We get whatever we cleave to. Like, for instance, you could cleave to healing in the Word of God, join up with it, and not cleave to prosperity. And what would you get? You would get healing without prosperity or increase or financially being financially blessed. Or you could just take healing, prosperity, everything God offers, and you could be totally blessed. Now, I like the last part better. I like totally blessed. Because I remember when we didn't have any prosperity, and we were extremely limited in what we could do. I read a letter from a person. And in this letter, he's an older person. He's had a well-known ministry, but now he's retired, you know. And he, in the same letter, talked about several ministries, good ministries, big ministries. How many of you know you don't have a big ministry without having some big money? You are not on television 6 days a week without money. They don't care if you're called or not. It's money that they care about, and they own the stations. People, natural people. And so these were television ministries and that he was talking about, you know, and really giving the what for preaching about money and prosperity. And in the same letter, I don't want you, TV, to put this on the broadcast because I don't want to make it any harder on this man than it is. But in the same letter, he said he had just a little, he and his wife are retired. They're older. There's sickness in the family and so on. And they live in this little place. And it's about to be repossessed. Now, he never saw the weird combination of that letter. He was needing help. He was wanting help. But he was putting people that were teaching him, that would teach him the answer. He was just dumping them, just dumping on them. And then he's needing money to pay his house payment so it's not repossessed. Now, church, there's something wrong with that thinking. If you're going to be Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, I've forgotten who else it was he had. If you're going to be ministering to the world, and you're going to have a church that has 30,000 or 40,000 people in it a week, you cannot do that for $300 a week. There is no way you can do that. The church that John Osteen founded, which now Joel has, they had to buy I think it was the Summit or something. Anyways, where they had basketball games. There weren't even enough. There's not very many places even to choose from if you're going to see 35,000 or 30 or 35,000 people a week. And you can't even pay the electricity bill on a place like that unless you've got money. Get a grip. There's something wrong with your thinking if you think people that have ministries like that should make it on $3,000 a month. There's no way. Now, we need to open our eyes and see. And besides that, here's some good advice for you. I'll just give it to you free. It's not exactly about healing, but it could keep you from getting sick. Don't be critical of ministers that are doing the work of God. Don't be critical of people. You don't know. You don't know what they have to do. You don't know this. You don't know that. You don't know
You know, we don't know about other people's business, do we? So wouldn't it be better if we just didn't try to get involved in other people's business that we don't know about? Glory to God. That is not my message today, but it could keep you from getting sick. Because criticism is not the way to stay well of anybody. Putting people down, talking bad about people, being in strife with people, jealousy, envy. Envy is as rottenness of the bones. Hallelujah. Envy rots your bones. So we walk in love and we walk in the Word of God, and I don't know where I got into that. But anyway, it's true. It's good advice. So he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed, you and your children and their children and their children, that thou mayest love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days. This cleaving to God causes you to live long in the earth. Don't you get a kick out of our brother that's been here that's 105 years old? Glory to God. 105 years old. I had my picture made with him last night. I'm working on a book about living long and living strong. And yesterday I noticed him. I don't see him here today, but yesterday I noticed when he was sitting over here and they started showing something on the screen. Well, he just got himself up and he just went over there just as spry as you please. I mean, he didn't go like this. He didn't drag one leg. He jumped up and he walked over there just as big as anybody to change so he could see something. I'm telling you, that's inspiring. I'm glad he came. Hallelujah. His name, by the way, they call him Dad Clark, if you ever wonder about who it is. It was 105 years old. So God wants us to live long. He wants us to live strong. He wants us to have length of days. Now, who wants to live a long time and be sick while you're living? No, length of days in hell and blessing. I don't even want to live long broke. I want to live long blessed and prosperous. Well, hallelujah. Able to be like Dad Clark, move around, do what I want to do. You know, he'd come and he'd sit through those long meetings, and I never once saw him go to sleep. I can't always say that for myself, but usually I stay awake. But I never once saw him go to sleep. He'd listen. His daughter was sitting in front of me, and I said, are you his granddaughter? Because I just figured out, you know, kind of in my head, well, that's probably his granddaughter. I said, are you his granddaughter? She said, no, I'm his daughter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus said, choose. We choose. How do we choose? We choose life or death by what we cleave to, what we hold to. What's big in our lives? If world things are big, the biggest thing in your life, you're not cleaving to the Lord. We can have an important position, an important job, a good job, a this, a that, or the other. But whatever else is there, God is supposed to be above and not beneath. That's to cleave to God. Cleave to His Word. Don't go days without the Word. Glory to God. Take books and tapes and CDs and fill yourself with the Word of God. When Ken and I started learning the Word of Faith, Brother Hagin didn't have very many tapes, but we listened to them night and day. I took note. I was a housewife with two kids, little, just two small children at about that time. Ken was at ORU. And I tell you, I got into that stuff. And the more I heard about faith, the better I liked it. And the more I heard about blessing, the better I liked it. And the more I heard about healing, the better I liked it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I still like it today. Bless the Lord. And those old tapes, Now they're, I hope they haven't disintegrated, but, you know, they're reel to reel. Those old tapes, they're still good to listen to. I mean, they're, you know, the word doesn't get old, does it? And you hear the same message and it'll talk to you in a different way or remind you of something. So we choose life. We've been delivered from sickness and disease and we choose life. Hallelujah. Let's look, now where do I want to go? Let's look at, so we talked about faith. I wanted to, well, let's look at, I'll quote this to you. We know that faith works by love, and faith is what receives miracles, healings, and faith operates out of your heart and out of your mouth. You could say this, faith has to be in two places. You have to get it out of your heart into your mouth to apply it. You know, you can just believe everything in your heart and know that you can believe you're healed in your heart and not say it. And it's good to believe. That's the first step, but that's not all the steps. You believe it and you say it. We're taught to believe in our heart and say with our mouth. So we believe it and we say it. Faith then works by love. We choose what we put in our mouth. We either put sickness and disease there, or we put faith and healing. We put poverty there, or we put abundance there. And Ken and I, as we were learning how to walk in the blessing of God, we understood and we found out about the words of our mouth. And we saw that that's where we were killing ourselves financially, was with the words that we say, because there was much pressure on us. There was old debts, bad debts, emergency debts, all kind of debts that we couldn't pay. And, you know, we just naturally talk about them. You would lie in bed at night and think about, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay those bills? How are we going to pay those bills? I mean, we didn't have much for them to come and get. They probably weren't interested in that, but, you know, what little bed we had, we wanted to keep. Glory to God. What old car we had, we wanted to keep. And so it's an application. Faith is an application. Faith for healing is an application. We should feed all the time on healing scriptures when we're well, when we're not well. And we can keep healing in our mouth when we're well as when symptoms come. But by His stripes you were healed is a fact. Now you need to keep that fact up in the forefront of your mind, your spirit, and your mouth. And then when something tries to come, instead of waiting a week or so, and then you feel so bad you have to go to the doctor and this and that and the other, you immediately attack a symptom. Don't put up with symptoms. Immediately attack a symptom and say, no, you're not coming on me, you dumb symptom. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Devil, don't you know I'm healed? Get out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to talk to the devil because he's hard-headed and hard-hearing, I think. But you tell him in Jesus' name and he'll hear you. Amen? So we've got to resist the curse, is, I guess, an easy way to say it. We resist the curse and we yield to the blessing. We put the blessing in our mouth. We talk blessed. We talk healed. We talk good. But we resist evil, we resist sickness, we resist lack, we resist those symptoms. We say, you're not coming on my body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we feed on healing scriptures all the time. That's God's medicine. You know, I take vitamins, I take supplements and different things. Well, I take healing scriptures, not nearly as much as I should because I feel good so much all the time. I forget to do the healing scripture some, but I should take, and so should you, we should continually say healing scriptures. When we're well and when we have symptoms or attack. Amen? That's our position. We're in the healing field. We got to keep the devil out of the healing field that's around us and in our body. Glory to God. Like they had to fight there was one, I think it was Joshua's man or David's man. And he had to fight off the enemy from his field. But he strapped his armor on and he fought the enemy off his field. Well, our life is our field. And we still have to fight some giants every once in a while, don't we? But we got what it takes to win. Glory to God. But not if we don't engage. So I'm going to show you some things about engaging for your healing today. And then we're going to just read some healing scriptures and take some healing medicine from healing scriptures. Let me think about where I want. Oh, here's the spirit of faith. Let me just say this to you. Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. If you don't have love, you're not going to have strong faith. Faith works in a love heart. Love, of course, is our commandment. So if we're not walking in love, we're not obedient. So our faith's not going to be strong. And love is what? Not touchy, fretful, resentful, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at iniquity and injustice, or injustice, I guess, but does rejoice when right and truth prevail. Love forgives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you've got an unforgiving heart, you're hurting yourself. You're not doing one thing to the other person, but you're hurting yourself. We are to forgive. Yeah, but, gee, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. If you want them to do some more to you, keep unforgiving them. Because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. That's a disobedient heart. So if you've got things against anybody, right now before we even pray today, you forgive them and you let it stay forgiven. You bury the hatchet, so to speak. You bury that in unforgiveness and you let it stay buried. Don't ever dig it back up. The devil tries to dig it back up in your thought life. Say, no, that's buried and gone. I've forgiven them. I pray for them. I bless them. Oh, I just don't think I could do that. You don't know what they did to me. I know what they're doing to you now. They're keeping you from receiving. So faith does not work. Faith works, the Bible says, by love. That's Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. Isn't it amazing that our commandment is to love? That's what Jesus said. If we'll love, we'll do everything else right. If we'll love God and love others, everything else will be all right. That's our commandment. We don't have any choice. Love forgives. And if you're going to have faith, you've got to have love. Because faith works by love. And love is our commandment. If you don't have love, you're disobedient. So it's like we don't have any choice here. We're going to be love people. If we want to walk in the blessing, we're going to have to be love people. If we want to be blessing people, we've got to be love people. Say, I'm a love people. I'm joining up with love. And I'm going to stay in the ranks of love. I forgive everybody of everything that's ever been done to me. I hold nothing against anybody. I receive my healing today. I receive healing. I have an unforgiving heart. There's nothing to stop me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just look at our commandment in John 13. I mean, that'll just keep you, just keeping a heart of forgiveness and being quick to forgive. Not slow to forgive. Don't think about it 2 or 3 days when somebody does you wrong. The moment that you become offended, you say, that's all right, I forgive them. Say it to your face, to their face if you want to. But if you're not, if that's not the thing to do, just say, I forgive them, Lord. I'm not taking any offense today at all. I forgive him. You know, it's not easy to live with your husband and your wife. They don't do everything we think they ought to. And we don't do everything they think we ought to. Amen? Because you know what happens? Here's what happens. Normally. Now, there could be some exceptions, but not many. Normally, It is true that opposites attract. And then they get married. And really, when you think about it, that makes sense. Because if like married like all the time, unless they were really good, if they were just, you know, like most people, good things and bad things, then they'd never change. But I guess, I don't know, but I can see the wisdom in marriage. And I'm talking about not in general, but just in opposites attracting. Opposite marries opposite, and opposite rubs off on opposite, and opposite runs off on this opposite, and then they make a good person. They make a whole being. You know, isn't that right? I mean, you know, you and your husband, y'all, you might have fought like cats and dogs when you first got married. Why was that? Because you were one way and he was another. But now you've been married for a while and things begin to get better and better and better. And now here you are enjoying each other's company. Ken and I were extremely opposite. We were very opposite. But really, we didn't fuss a lot or fight a lot, but. Well, we just hardly did that. But at any rate, we were opposite. And we did when we married, we didn't know anything about the Word of God. And you know, Ken and I just have the best time together. And I think that it works out for opposites to attract if they'll yield and not kill one another first. That's another message that I should be preaching today. Let's see. Okay, so faith works by love. Our commandment, I'll read it to you in John 13, 33. A new commandment. He said, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. This is Jesus. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment. This is something new. These were Jewish people he was talking to, but this was a new commandment for them. They've been given the Ten Commandments. This is a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that if you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You're to love one another, this is a commandment, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Glory to God. That is our commandment. That is, we keep the Ten Commandments, but that is our commandment. That's the commandment of the New Covenant. We're born again. We can do that. We have a heart for God. We can walk in love. When we were born again, the nature of God was imparted to us, and the evil nature that came from the devil in the Garden of Eden was kicked out, and we were what? Born again. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? And that's another thing that helps marriages. You've both been born again. Glory to God. So if both of you begin to walk in love, you can have what is known as days of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. Both of you are born again. Both of you begin to walk after the Word in love. And you engage in walking in love. It's a great thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We engage in walking in love. It's our commandment. The spirit of faith receives and the spirit of faith takes dominion. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of how to act on the Word of God from the Scripture and see. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to act on the healing Scriptures. I'm going to give healing Scriptures in a little bit, and then we're going to act on them. But we're going to do this. We're going to receive today our healing in the Spirit of faith, and here's how it works. Now let's look at some examples of faith in the Bible. Let's look at Matthew 14. Our deal today is to settle in on, we're going to receive our healing today. We're going to act on faith. Now, Matthew 14:25 is walking on the water. We're looking at things to do, not to do, where people missed it, where they got it right. And verse 14:25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter actually walks on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Now, he had great faith when he got out there on the water and he began to walk. But then when adversity came and the wind came, he began to sink. And that's what happened. That's why people lose their healing. That's why they don't stand for their healing long enough until it's done. Adversity comes, symptoms come, maybe diagnosis comes, something comes from out here in the world order, and a person begins to sink in faith. We are not like that. We do not sink in faith. The spirit of faith does not stop. Peter jumped out by the spirit of faith, but then he got talked out of it because of the wind and the sea. Listen, you can't walk on the water on a calm day, under normal circumstances. He was already walking, and what happened? Something else came up, and he backed off his faith, and he began to fear, and he began to sink. That is what not to do. He walked a little while, but then he began to sink. Look at blind Bartimaeus. So that's something not to do. You can't look around. You can't listen to bad reports, bad diagnosis, or whatever it is. You can hear it, but when you get a bad report, you don't begin to sink. You begin to say, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. You begin to go over healing scriptures. Get a list of healing scriptures. I'm sure we've got some out there in some form. And go over them every day. Like Dodie Osteen did when she had been diagnosed with cancer and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. In fact, Dodie's got a little book of her healing scriptures. We may have that. If we don't, you can get it from Lakewood Church. But she went over healing scriptures every day. They said, you just have a short time to live. Dodie was in the hospital. John was with her. They said, there's nothing we can do. You've a short time to live. And so they said, well, why are we staying in the hospital? Let's go home. So they went home. Dodie made her a list of healing scriptures, and as I recall, she went through them twice a day every day. And I've used those same scriptures myself. They work. And eventually that cancer, I don't remember how long it took, but every trace of cancer is gone. Now, that's been about 20, maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. But John went on to heaven, and Dodie's still just a cooking down there. She just has birthday after birthday. She's well. She's strong. She's been healed for years and years and years and years and years, and there's no trace of cancer in her body. And she just goes about her business, and she's just doing the work of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Dodie is she's a precious woman, that Dodie is. So anyway, you get your healing scriptures. You don't quit. You don't get off of them. You go over them. You take them like medicine. Hallelujah. And then blind Bartimaeus, he's a great example. Let's look at Mark. He's one of my favorite examples of acting on faith. I'm just going to give you some things here, what to do, what not to do, but he's one to do. Mark 10. Oh, Bartimaeus, he had it together. Verse 46. Well, I just can't find Mark 10. There it is. When they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, with a great number of people, the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. Here's a beggar now. He's not very important in the scheme of things. And when he heard in the natural, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But he was bold. You can say that for Bartimaeus. He didn't just sit there and just let the son of David go by. He began to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And the people got on him. They charged him. They said, "Shut up, you old beggar. Shut up. Jesus doesn't want to talk to you." They probably told him all kind of discouraging things. But he cried all the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer." Now they're going to be nice to him. "Be of good cheer. Comfort. Rise. He calleth for thee." And he, Bartimaeus, did Bartimaeus hesitate? Did he say, "Well, you know, I can't go over there because I'm blind"? No, it says, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him," here's what he's saying unto you this morning, he's no respecter of persons. He's already borne your sickness and carried your diseases. He's saying the same thing to you. "What will you that I should do unto thee?" What would you have me do? What can I do for you, Bartimaeus? What can I do for you today, Jesus says to us. That's his attitude all the time. And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Luke 18 says, Jesus said, "Receive thy sight." And in Mark it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Thy faith, thy believing, thy laying hold of, thy taking, thy not just sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, but taking the Word of God made him whole. Faith, acting on the Word of God. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to release our faith. We're going to act on the Word of God. And when we pray, you begin to do what you couldn't do before. You can make a spectacle out of yourself if you want to, jumping around, running around the room, because it is spectacle time. I mean, it's a time for us to begin to move with every fiber of our faith, every fiber of our being. We receive the Word of God. If you couldn't bend over, bend over. If you couldn't run, run. Act on it. All that we have to do in any area of our deliverance is to begin to act on the Word of God. Whether it's the lack of money, whatever it is, we begin to say it and do it and act on it. Amen. So I love Bartimaeus. Jesus said to him, act on it. Get up. You're healed. Thy faith, your believing, in other words, Jesus could say it this way, your believing that I could do this has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So blind Bartimaeus didn't stay blind. Wouldn't that be a terrible title to have on the front of your name, blind Bartimaeus? But he's not blind Bartimaeus after he met Jesus and after he acted on his faith. He's just Bartimaeus. He used to be a beggar. He used to be blind. But now he's healed. Now he's whole. Hallelujah. Now while we're there, let's look. Because what I want you to do is act on the Word today. I want you to act on the Word. So look right in my Bible, it's just across the page, but look at Mark 11, and let's talk about faith. Your faith has made you whole. What is faith? How does faith work? Look at Mark 11, 22. At the end, Jesus said, after that, now here's Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus already been healed by his faith. Jesus may be even thinking about Bartimaeus right now when he says this, have faith in God. That's the bottom line right there. This morning, or any morning of your life, whether you're at home by yourself, in a healing service, wherever, that is the key to healing. Have faith in God. For verily, here's Jesus began to teach to us. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, not just one thing, but you believe that the things that you say come to pass, that he shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he, the one who believeth, the one who saith, he shall have whatsoever. He that believeth, he saith, shall have whatsoever he saith. One of the most important things we ever learned about faith is right there. We began to find out, we found out that it's what we were saying that was keeping us bound in poverty and lack. How are we going to pay these bills? Worry. You feel like you have to worry, you know, until you read the Bible. You feel like, oh, it's, you know, you're just not being a worthy person of this debt you can't pay if you don't worry. You got to at least feel bad about it. No, you don't. You got to believe you received to be able to pay it. So you don't talk debt. You don't talk, what are we going to do? You don't talk all these bills. Every time, if you're believing to get out of debt, every time a bill comes in your mail, you just say, thank God you're paid. Thank God you're paid. Thank God you're paid. When you go through your mail, thank God you're paid. I call you paid. Call you paid. Call you paid. You do the same thing with your healing. Thank God I'm healed. You have a pain. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. Body, I call you healed. Knee, thank God I'm healed. You're healed. I call you healed. Instead of going and saying to somebody how you hurt, and you know, seem like that's what you... I remember used to when, back in the days before we really knew how to walk with faith, when you'd get sick, when I'd get sick, I just couldn't wait to go in there and tell Ken, I'm sick. Why is that? Because you want a little attention, I guess. And you want to say to somebody, you want to say to somebody every day, all day long, I'm sick. You go to work. You go to work feeling bad, and you want to, first thing you want to do is say, I feel so bad. I must be coming down with something. Dumb. We can't say that. No, we don't even need to say anything. We can say, if we say something to them, we can say, by his stripes, I was healed. That Jesus himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And by his stripes, I was healed. Begin to say that. Don't say, I must be coming down. Or, see how active that is? See how you enforce the sickness with that? Or, I'm catching a cold. Are you running after a cold to catch it? That's dumb. The devil's tricky, isn't he? That's why he's called a deceiver. He puts phrases out there for us to take hold of and say so that he can do whatever he wants to do. Glory to God. Don't say that. Don't say you're going bankrupt. Don't say if we don't pay these bills, we're going bankrupt. Don't say we can't pay these bills. Don't make bills if you don't have to. I mean, don't, you know, we trust you, but everybody's got to... Something that's got to be taken care of every month, your light bill and all that stuff. When it comes in, say, thank God I've got the money to pay you. Thank you, Lord, you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You get that big light bill and you think, man, where did that come from? That might be your first thought. Let your next thought and your first words be, well, I've got the money to pay it in Jesus' name. You know, you have got to go on the offensive with these things, with your healing. Go over healing scriptures every day. think about healing every day, particularly if you have symptoms in your body you're trying to get rid of until they're gone. But even then, you still stay on the offensive with healing. Glory to God. You're healed. I mean, you hear about I remember the first flu epidemic that I ever remember hearing about. I believe the first one was the Hong Kong flu. The Hong Kong flu is over here. It's taken over. It's everywhere. The Hong Kong flu. You know, there have been a lot of flu epidemics. There have been some serious flu epidemics in history that have killed hundreds and thousands of people. And so every year or two, we try to have a little epidemic. But so far, we haven't gotten a good one off the ground in a long time. But when they start talking about the Hong Kong flu, the Asian flu, the whatever flu it is, don't think, oh, no. Oh, what if I get that flu? No. Uh-uh. You say, I'll never have the Hong Kong flu. The swine flu? You say, I'm not taking the flu off of a hog. In Jesus' name, no, you're not coming near me. You know, you got to get militant about these things. But people that don't know that, they just get afraid they're going to take the flu. And then they go get the flu shot, and then they get the flu. And it's just sad. What do? We say, no, you're not coming on me. Whatever kind of epidemic it is, financial or physical. If they say there's recession, depression, it's not coming in my house in Jesus' name. You've got to learn to speak up. If you want to go free, Jesus said, we speak to that mountain. Isn't that what he says here? Have faith in God. I say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith, you should believe everything you say comes to pass, which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now the key to that is, say what you want and don't say what you don't want. Amen? Therefore I say, Jesus said, now I'm saying something to you. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, when do you receive them? When you pray. And then the manifestation comes. When do you get out of debt? When you pray. When you write out your agreement and you sign it and you believe God. And then you say, I'm debt free. Every bill is paid and I'm debt free. Every bill is paid and I'm debt free. Glory to God. Say it. Say what you want to come to pass. If you just give yourself a little test. Whatever's in your life today is a result of your saying. Fear coming in for one thing or another, and you begin to take it and you begin to say it. I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. They talk about the flu. They talk about serious epidemics. And you let fear come in and you begin to think about it and say it. No, we think about the Word of God. We say the Word of God. By His stripes, say it. I was healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So Bartimaeus in 10:46, blind Bartimaeus, he's a great example of acting on faith. And then, let's see, what else? The woman. Let's do the woman with the issue of blood before we go. There's a lot of them, but we won't take time to do any more. But this woman with the issue of blood, she is where we learned how to apply faith, for one thing. Brother Hagin had this message on the woman with the issue of blood. Now look at this. Let's look at her, and then we're going to just pretty quick now, we're going to be ready to act on the Word of God. And you're going to act on it. Amen? You're going to take your healing. You're going to dump your sickness. All right, the woman with the issue of blood, let's look at her and let her talk to us. She was sick. She was in a terrible situation. She was sick, and she was just in, should not have been out in the street. She could have been gotten really bad trouble for coming out in the street. And it said that Jesus was going along, and people were pressing him. The centurion came, or one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And he wanted him to go pray for his little girl who was at the point of death. He said to Jesus, "Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." So Jairus was like, he was saying faith words. He was saying, "You lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live." Now what happened? Jesus responded, didn't he? Jairus said, "Come, you come." In other words, you come to my house, you lay your hands on my girl and she'll be healed. Jesus didn't say, "Well, I'm just too busy today. I got some other things going." No. He went with her. He did exactly what he asked him to do, even though he was thronged by people and he was just people everywhere. He started out for Jairus' house. Now, while he was going, this faith woman turned up. A certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She had been sick a long time, and now she's broke. She had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, the crowd, all the people. She came. She didn't say, "Well, you know, I'd like to go to the healing meeting. I'd like to go down there and touch Jesus' garment, because I believe if I touched him, I'd be healed. But I'm just in no shape to go. I just can't go today. I just don't feel good. I just can't do it. I'm not going to go." She would never have gotten her healing. But it said, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. That's one of our words, engage, implement, press, that we've talked about. You've got to engage in these things. She engaged that day. Even though she wasn't supposed to, even though she was sick, she heard and she came and she worked her way through the crowd. I can just see her now. She worked her way through the press, for she said, and she worked her way through the press and she actually got to the garment. For she said, I think the Amplified Bible, yeah, it does. It says, she kept saying. For she kept saying. She was saying something. And she kept saying this: "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She kept saying that. She kept saying that. She kept saying all the way. I can just see her coming through the crowd. "If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Excuse me. If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Excuse me. If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Pardon me. If I just touch his garment, I'll be whole." Can't you see her now? Can't you see her coming through the crowd? And she made her way through that crowd. She got up to where the garment was. And buddy, when she touched him, sickness left her body. Listen to what the scripture says. She heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, and the Amplified said, she just kept saying it, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She was really, I think, thinking, "Well, he won't even have to know I'm there. If I can just get close enough just to touch him, I'll be healed. I'll be whole." The Amplified says, "I'll be restored to health." She was seeing a picture of her restoration. She was seeing that if she touched his garment, restoration was on the other side of that touch. And so she took a chance for getting out, because she could have gotten in trouble. She was weak. She was sick. There was a crowd. There was numbers of reasons why that wouldn't work for her today. But what'd she do? She kept saying, "If I but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." And immediately, straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body, she knew it, that she was healed of that plague. Immediately when she touched the garment, immediately when the fulfillment of what she had been saying, immediately when she touched the garment, immediately the issue of blood dried up. She was healed. Just like she said. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, he knew that power had left him, virtue had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" He knew it. And so she came and she told him that it was her. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." See, the power of God was present to heal. But nothing happened until somebody released their faith. And when she touched his garment, she had already said, "When I touch, I'll be made whole." And she was healed of that plague. Glory to God. God's no respecter of persons. Today when we pray and we release our faith on the Word of God, that's our point of contact. The point of contact today is the Word of God. And when we pray and we release our faith on God's Word, that's when you receive. And I want you to engage today. If you want to receive, you engage. Just like Bartimaeus engaged. Just like the lady with the issue of blood engaged. When we pray, that's our point of contact. And we're going to receive our healing. Begin to do, after we pray today, begin to do what you couldn't do before. And if you couldn't run, take off running. If you couldn't get up, get up. If you couldn't throw up this arm, throw up this arm. We're going to be like the woman with the issue of blood. We're going to say it. We're going to do it. We're going to receive it. And then she told it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Jesus.
He's just as available today, if not more so, after the cross, than he was then. Now we're born of him. Now his spirit lives in us. Hallelujah. And that's why you can get healed at home just the same way. It's just acting on the Word of God. And it's good. Set a point of contact and say, "When I do that, I'm healed." You can have a healing service just you and Jesus. Glory to God. So she went in peace. He said to her, "My daughter, thy faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, here's another faith situation. While he yet spake, now he's on his way to Jairus' house, they came to him and to Jairus and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the little girl's father, the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." As soon as. Why did he do it as soon as? Because he didn't want him to say something that would disrupt his faith. He didn't want the ruler to say something that would disrupt the ruler's faith. And so he said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Now here, you know, think about Jairus is a big wheel here. I mean, he's the ruler of the synagogue. He's big. He's important. And Jesus was headed to his home when this little woman with the issue of blood came up, who's a nobody in people's sight. She's just a sick old woman, and she doesn't count for much in the natural realm, if people are just thinking in the natural realm. And so when she touched his garment and she got Jesus' attention, well, that delayed Jesus from going to Jairus' house. He could have gotten upset about that. He could have gotten mad about that. He could have gotten irritated with that woman. Why didn't she just mind her own business and stay home? She was minding her own business. Her own business was to get healed that day. Glory to God. So now he says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid." What? Only believe. We don't have any fear that we won't receive. We're faith people. We know the Word of God. "Don't be afraid. Only believe." That's all we got to do today when we pray is just believe. Luke says, fear not, believe only. This is what Jesus told Jairus. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Don't get out of your faith, Jairus. Don't let this throw you now. Don't have fear. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And you'll be made whole. Glory to God. Aren't we glad God's no respecter of persons? And so he went to the place, of course, and the little girl was dead. Everybody said she was dead. Jesus said, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed at him. They put him to scorn, but he put them out. See, Jesus wasn't any wimp just going somewhere. I mean, he put them out. They laughed at him, but he put them out. And he took the father and the mother, and they went in with where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, damsel, I say unto you, arise. Get a picture of that. This little girl is graveyard dead, so they say. She's been dead a little while. Jesus goes in, takes her hand. Why? Because faith. Somebody's believing in him. Jairus is believing in him. He's saying, you just touch her, she'll be healed. You just come pray for my daughter, she'll be healed. He took her by the hand, and he said, little girl, I'm telling you, get up. I say unto you, arise. Glory. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. Who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? That is a wonderful scripture to know that he's just as quick to heal you as he was to raise that little girl from the dead, or as he was to give blind Bartimaeus his sight. He only has to have faith to work with. Somebody's got to be believing him. Who's believing him today? Glory to God. Somebody has got to be believing him. Jesus is always ready. He took the little girl. He said, I say unto you, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. She got up from the dead and walked. Woo, I want to see a replay of that when I get to heaven. She was 12 years old and they were astonished. Jesus does things that astonish people. Hallelujah. He loves you this morning. He's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you act in the spirit of faith, you receive. Luke says one thing is needful. And that's faith. Thank you, Father. We praise you this morning, Lord. What shall we do? What shall we do next? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at Isaiah. Let's get ready now. We're getting ready to release our faith. We know that this same Jesus is here today. Glory to God. All right. Let me read this amplified. Are you ready? Get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified Bible today. We're going to act on this. This is already done. It's already come to pass. This is Isaiah prophesying, because in Peter it tells us it's already come to pass. Surely, surely, he, that's talking about the Messiah, Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted as if with leprosy. But he, Jesus, was wounded, the Messiah, he, Jesus, the Messiah, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, the guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now that's describing the curse, what was under the curse of the law for sin, the broken law. I mean, when you broke the law, the curse was there. It was there until Jesus took it upon himself and bore it for us. And under this curse, in Deuteronomy 28, it lists every sickness and every... It lists a whole list of things. A whole list of individual things. Then it says every sickness and every disease that is not listed under this curse is under the curse. So there's no sickness, no disease left out. Jesus bore the curse. He bore whatever it is you've got in your body today. He bore it, and he did it for you. He's no respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. It's a done deal. It's already been done. He's already paid the price. Now what's left? Well, that little woman with the issue of blood, she heard it. She said it. She heard it, she received it, she said it, if I be healed, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. And then she received it, she took it when she said it, she received it, and then she acted on it. So now we're going to receive our healing today. Receive it, we're going to take it. We are going to be an exuberant group, and we are going to take our healing. We're going to engage. Now, First Peter says that by his stripes, it repeats this in the New Testament, of course, by his stripes, you were healed. Peter, looking back at the cross, said you were healed. This says we are healed, looking forward. So when I pray, I'm going to break the power of the devil and I'm going to cast sickness away from you. And when I do that, I want you to make a display of your faith. Act on it. Those of you over here in the wheelchairs, wherever you are, begin to move something. Begin to move something. Begin to move. Take it. Take it. We're going to take it today. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We receive this, Lord. We thank you that you bore our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. You carried our sorrows and pains. You were wounded for our transgressions, our sins. You were bruised for our guilt and iniquity, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon you. And with the stripes that wounded you, we are healed. And we receive this healing right now, in the name of Jesus. Stand up to your feet, if you can. If you can't stand up, it's all right. You will be in a minute. Stand up, and let's just receive our healing. I'm going to rebuke sickness and disease off your body. And you say this right now. You say, Jesus, I receive you as my healer. I believe that you bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And by your stripes, I was healed. I see that in the book of Isaiah. I hear Peter saying that to me. I receive that word. And when we pray, I'm going to act like I'm healed. I'm taking my healing. I'm going to be like that woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to be bold about this. I'm going to act like it. In Jesus' name. Are you ready? I'm telling you, you just get with the program when I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Ken, come stay with me. Are you here? Come pray with me. We come before you now, Lord. We believe. We are believers. We accept the word from Isaiah and from 1 Peter that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, that Jesus himself has already done it for us. Now you say this after me. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive you, Jesus, as my healer.
I receive you,
and right now,
healing is working in my body.
I release my faith
for the restoration of my body.
In Jesus' name.
Now
I'm going to say this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed. Be made whole. Be healed in Jesus' name. You take it. Take it. Say, I take it. And now you begin to do what you couldn't do before. Act on it in Jesus' name. I take it. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. Say it. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm released. This bondage of sickness leaves me forever.
Jesus, my healer,
has healed me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. My body's healed. And now I act like it's healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You couldn't bend over, bend over. Run. Do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Lift up your legs in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke pain off of your body in the name of Jesus. I rebuke sickness and disease off your body in Jesus' name. I command your mind to be normal and strong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearts be healed. Eyes be healed. Ears be healed. Kidneys be healed. Bones be healed. Cancer, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to die and come out of them in Jesus' name. Cancer, you come out of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed, made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Arthritis, you can't have our bones. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. You get off the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to eyes, ears be healed. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Liver, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be restored in Jesus' name. Be made new parts. Parts, I speak new parts. Be replaced. Sick, disease, parts, organs, parts, be restored in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, we pray.
Injured necks.
Samanda
people cushion. That have been injured in the neck. Car wrecks. Mm-hmm. One of them's a bicycle wreck.
Yes.
Different injuries to the neck. Thank are you. Being healed and made whole. In at least one case, there is restoration coming. And the difference between healing and restoration is the bones in your neck are having to be miraculously restored in order for your healing to take place. Praise God. The healing is there. The healing is there.
Yes,
arthritis, I rebuke you. I rebuke you.
Thank
Get
you,
out in the name
Thank
of Jesus.
You
don't have any right. Take your hands
Thank
off of
you,
God's
Jesus.
Property right now.
We're healed of that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Degenerative joint disease, I rebuke you.
Yes.
You be gone. I speak restoration of the bones, restoration of and strength in the bones of the body, restoration. There are injuries in legs and feet that are being healed right now. Injured legs and injured feet are being healed and restored, praise God. Restored to normal. Restored strength in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to say this. Listen, I wouldn't say it had I not heard the Lord say it. Amen. I don't say things I don't hear the Lord say. But I heard the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, if you will take my word, and if you will give me your word, that you will work with me, if you will work with me concerning your overweight condition, I then can give you my word, the healing of your legs and your back is intimate. I heard him say that to me, but I have never ministered that in 41 years of being in this ministry. Now, I have a working agreement with the Lord like that, but I've never heard him minister it to anybody else until right then.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Remember now what he said. If you will give me your word that you will work with me on this. He didn't say you had to do it. He said you need to commit to work with him on it. He'll teach you. He'll train you. Praise God. He'll show you how to get that excess weight off of your body. Forget about what the world's going on about. Work with God. Work with him. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll show you. Amen. But then you're going to have to commit to it. Commit to what? Losing the weight? That isn't what he said. He said commit to work with him on this. And if you will commit to work with him on this, then the healing of your legs and back is intimate.
Praise.
In other words, he'll give you your healing today on the credit if you will commit to work with him on this thing that's breaking your body down. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
He'll go ahead and do it for you today. Hallelujah.
What happened to you when the Lord spoke that to you? What was your testimony about that?
Well, dear Lord, I was born fat. I'm not kidding you. I was so big I liked to kill my mother. Well, there's a lot of things involved. I don't want to get into all that.
Well,
but
you maybe don't have to go back that far.
No. But what I'm saying is this: that this thing was with me all my life. I cannot remember. I can't go back to a place that I can remember where I was not hungry 24 hours a day, and where I was not fat and overweight. I fought it all the time. And it whipped me all the time. Well, the day that we left to go to Oral Roberts University, December 1966, I weighed 240. Now, I'd lost 20 pounds. That's not quite accurate. I don't know the total. I'd lost somewhere probably 12, 15,000 pounds. But if I stabilize, I'd stabilize around 240, 245, something like that. Well, the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, you're going to have to correct this. You're going to have to get that weight off of you. And in order to carry out what I've called you to do. I said, yes, sir. Well, the only thing I knew is what little I'd learned in the past, but I made the step. But I committed to the Lord. I said, you teach me. You show me what I must do. And so I began to search the scriptures about it. The biggest scripture in that whole area that I ever found was when I realized I looked all these scriptures up, was that the drunkard and the glutton were in the same verses. Drunkenness and gluttony were in the same verses. And I had the Lord say this to me. He said that people don't realize it, but there are skinny gluttons. Just because they don't get fat like everybody else, they think they can just, you know, just gorge out and pig out any way they want to. Well, it may not break out in fat, but it'll break out in some other ways. Anytime you're involved in things that are crosswise in the flesh, then you have to pay a price for it. It's just the way the thing works. So I made the decision. He said, your first step is to make the decision. And I wrote a little book called The Decision Is Yours. You make that decision and you stand on that. Then one step and one thing led to another. And I messed up and I flubbed it up and I went. But it.
But you stayed with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't quit.
Wouldn't quit. Stayed with it. God would reveal something else to me. Reveal something else to me. I had to learn how to eat. I didn't know how to eat. But the thing was, I was hungry 24 hours a day. And I knew from the Word of God that that shouldn't be right, that there's something wrong here. And whatever was wrong in that area, I wasn't causing that. And so I just kept on and stayed with the Word and stayed with God and stayed with it and kept confessing it and kept confessing it and kept confessing it and kept confessing it and stayed with it. And God would show me this and He'd show me that. He'd get me in contact with this person and that person, and this thing worked and that thing worked and this worked and that worked. Praise God. And
look at your skin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, All this time, the most powerful thing was the Word of God, Scripture. I write it down on paper, carry it with me, write my commitment to that Scripture. Did I ever goof it up? Are you kidding me? Of course I did. But I didn't stay goofed up. Repent. Believe God. Repent. Get right back in the game. Praise God. Now, there were certain commitments that I never did break. God delivered me from sugar. And He delivered me from the things that I craved. I craved bread. I was like a drunk over bread. I'd eat so much of it that you'd get drunk. Because it'll metabolize into alcohol. I didn't know that back then, but I'd eat a loaf of bread. I'd eat a loaf at a time. And I had a buddy in the bakery. Oh, God. Man, I look back on it now. I wished he'd have lost his job. But no. But I'd go down there and I'd get hot bread from him before they put it through the slicer. And I'd get the big old long loaves of bread, man, and get a handful of the end of it and pull that plug out of the end of it, stick a whole stick of butter down in that hot bread and jam the end of it back in there and just sit down and eat the whole thing. Man, how
dumb can you be? Is it good to be free?
Oh, my, I'm not hungry. Hallelujah. I found out hunger is under the curse. You don't have to be hungry to know when to eat.
That's right.
Now, I know you ain't ever heard that before. I had neither when I heard it. But look it up. Look it up in the Word. Trace it down. You don't need to be hungry to tell you when to eat.
Isn't that amazing? I was hungry all the time. It wasn't because I needed something to eat. We'd have Thanksgiving dinner, and I'd clean out, man. I mean, I'd just, Mama cook, Gloria cook. We'd get all this stuff, and I'd eat till I couldn't hardly get up. And it was, and before nightfall, I'd be back in there in the kitchen eating again. Mama said, "Boy, how can you do that?" I don't know. Man, my stomach was hurting, but my head was hungry. Don't stand there and laugh at me like that. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I was hungry, and it sure wasn't because I needed to eat. And I found out hunger, that gnawing, driving hunger, that's under the curse. That comes with famine. And so I stood on that. I've been redeemed from the curse, and God led me and directed me, and I learned things. I learned how to receive healing. I learned just an enormous body of work came out of this thing, and praise God, I'm not hungry anymore. And when that hunger tries to get back on me, I said, "No, you don't tell me when to eat. I tell you when to eat. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. You're not putting this on me." In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He delivered me from sugar completely and totally. And delivered me from bread. Glory to God. Now, and how did he do that? Well, he directed me to do this. After I had prayed for about 3 days and just stayed before him and listening to him, I put a slice of bread on a plate. I took the communion elements and set them on the table. And I laid my hand on that bread, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I have no need of you again forever." Pushed it away from me and took the communion and set that right down in front of that. Now, in order to get to that bread, I got to go through the blood and the body of Jesus. Man, I mean, it killed it right there. I've never had any craving for it ever again. And other things that the Lord said, "No, I don't want you eating that anymore. That's dangerous for your body. I don't want you doing any." So go through the same process. Praise the Lord. I have no need of you again forever. Push it away from me and then take communion.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Those of you that are watching on the internet, the Spirit of the Lord is present to heal right where you are. And you do what we do, and you'll receive your healing, and then you let us know your testimony. Father, we thank you. We thank you today. Now I want to hear some testimonies. I want to hear some people that you already can tell. Not everybody can already tell, but some of you can already tell that there's a change in your body, the pain's gone, or you can do something you couldn't do before. And we want you to come and give your testimony, give God glory.
Bend over. In the name of Jesus.
We praise.
If my hand on Gloria is right where pain and stiffness is in your body.
Thank you, Father.
Engage right now.
Engage.
Engage.
With your faith, receive it.
Engage. Ruptured disc, herniated discs. Degenerative disease of the spine.
Thank you, Father.
Damaged spinal nerves.
We receive that healing.
Be healed now!
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now come on, praise. Get into action. Come
Glory.
On, get into action.
Bend down. Glory.
Get into action.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you.
Now, praise God.
Do you have anything else?
No. No. Praise God. Oh, someone has some kind of diseased tongue. Some kind of a disease on your tongue. A cancerous of the tongue. Some sort of disease on the tongue. It is healed now.
Praise God.
It is healed now.
Thank you.
Right now.
Glory to God.
Somebody watching on the internet right now in the hospital with a diseased tongue, you're healed right now. The healing power of God is there right now. Engage. 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 Receive it. Engage. Engage. Ooh, there's another wave, Glory. There's another wave of the healing power, God. Praise God. Praise God.
Receive.
Praise God.
Receive.
Praise God.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Receive.
Praise God.
There's a healer in the house. Jesus.
Praise, 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 praise.
Receive.
Praise, 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 praise.
Take it.
Oh my God.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah. We're going to keep the switch of faith turned on. People will continue to be healed all the time we're here and throughout the day and the night. Keep the switch of faith turned on. If you can tell you're already healed and the symptoms are gone and you need to testify, to just go to both sides right now and give God glory for it. Give God glory for it. Hallelujah. Come to both sides. And you can sit down if you'll keep the switch of faith turned on. God's still moving in here. Glory to
now,
God.
Now, while we're arranging this and taking place, the word of the Lord came to me to give a moment of my testimony to help inspire you to give your testimony. We just had a horrible, terrible car wreck. And I was out of the will of God. You could have named me Jonah. I fit every symptom of Jonah. I was going in another direction, and we had this terrible, horrible car wreck. Now, don't you ever get the idea that God brought that car wreck on us. No. I brought that car wreck on us. Now, we had, it was so amazing. Gloria was in the right seat of the car. She was so sick with the flu that she was just kind of going in and out. She was so sick. When I looked at that car, where her face had hit the dashboard, it had just cupped out that dashboard. She didn't have a mark on her. Not a mark. John was lying on a pillow, just a few months old, between the
four car seats.
Between the two front seats and the gear shift console. I couldn't find him. And I finally found him up underneath the dashboard, and I drug him out of there. And when I went back and looked at the car, his little body had rooted that gear shift out of the console. Broke his arm right here and four ribs in his back, but he had no marks on him. You could look at him, you wouldn't think he'd even gotten hurt. They put us in his hospital room. I was sitting in the chair. I had John on my chest because he couldn't lay him down because the broken ribs in the back would move. He'd cry, they'd be worse, he'd cry more. So I had him laying up on my chest like this, and I'm rocking with him. And I'm praying in the Spirit and repenting. And repenting. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for being a Jonah. Your will be done. Oh, your will be done. You have to understand, I was so untaught in the Scripture. I knew a little bit. I had just come out of a meeting where I learned some valuable things. But I'm repenting. Oh, Jesus. And I just repent over this thing. And I began to pray in the Spirit. in the name of Jesus. I receive my forgiveness. I receive the washing of the water of the Word. These scriptures began to come out of me. And I began to say these things. Now, here's what I want to get through to you. And I want you to release your faith in this area right now. Right where you sit, right where you stand, right all over this place.
All over the area.
In the name of Jesus. Move over into that area. Oh, Jesus, I receive my healing. I receive my forgiveness. I receive the blood of the Lamb. I receive cleansing. I receive the washing of the water of the Word. Now, I physically felt it. I'm sitting there in this chair. Gloria is just sick, and Kelly is in the slight stages, I call it, of shock. She's just a little 2.5-year-old. I felt it like somebody knocked on my head. I felt it. And then it began like only I've never been able to describe it any other way than hot honey. I could tell how sweet it was. Not to my taste. It just, and it ran down over my head, down my face. And as it came down, I had pain in my chest where I'd hit the steering wheel of that car. And all that pain stopped. And it ran, and John's little head just fell over and he went to sleep. And it just ran down all over me, all down my entire physical body, all down to my feet. Gloria went to sleep. Kelly just rolled over and went to sleep. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, if that can work for Jonah, you know it can work for you after you've been in the Word of God all week long and all of these wonderful things. Amen. See, Jesus was there all the time. He wasn't holding anything against me. All I needed to do was engage. I engaged in repentance. I engaged in releasing my faith. I engaged, and I want you to know that anointing was there. Praise God. So expect it right now. Expect that thing. I'm not talking about the feeling of it. I'm talking about some of you may feel it. You may have some place in your body all of a sudden just start getting hot. Praise God. Well, that's what that is. But what you are expecting is, oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's in there now. And then stay engaged throughout all these testimonies. You rejoice every time somebody testifies. You rejoice. You rejoice because someone has received. You rejoice and thank God and stand fast. Hallelujah. See, get out of yourself. Get out of yourself. Engage in the blessing. Engage in that anointing. You're receiving and you're blessing at the same time. You're receiving and you're blessing at the same time. You're receiving and you're blessing at the same time. Ah, saith the Lord. Yes, amen. A number of you have committed to work with me in these things, and I am working in you now, saith the Lord, and great and wonderful things are already coming to pass, and there's some good news coming for several of you today. Several of you are going to hear from loved ones that have received their healing, and they're in another place, and some of them in a faraway land, but I'm working in your family right now.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you watching on the internet, email us your testimony and then call somebody, tell some friend, tell them what Jesus has done for you today. You're supposed to testify to the good things. Now, kids, look what we've got here, the Super Kids. Commander Kelly and the Super Kids.
We had a great healing school, Jenny.
Jenny did healing school.
Yes,
that's my
like
granddaughter, Jenny.
she taught this morning, and the kids received it. And, you know, when we laid hands on them, I noticed something I just want to mention. Because I noticed a number of times I would lay hands on someone and for eyes or pain or whatever, and I'd say, all right, can you see, check it out. And they said, well, it's a little better. And the Lord had me say, well, you better thank him for that. Instead of having the attitude, well, it's not good enough.
Right, that's good.
You know, when it gets that little better, you thank it. And every time they would, they're like, it's better. And then they'd thank him again. I said, thank him for that. And so
that's
I just thought
good.
I'd bring
that's
that out because that
that's
was really good. We had that a lot this morning, so I think he's wanting our hearts of thankfulness. I'm going to let Jenny tell these testimonies. We got some good healings.
We did. And this is Macy. She's 7 years old. And when she came up to get prayed for, she said her ankle was hurting. And it hurt when she ran around. But when she was prayed for, she ran around the whole room. And she said, my ankle doesn't hurt anymore. And we started praising God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Good job, Jesus.
Praise you, Father. This is Salish. She's 8 years old. And she was partially cross-eyed. And when we laid hands on her, she said she could tell a difference in her eyes straightening up.
Thank you, Jesus.
So glory to God.
For healing
we believe she is completely healed. This is Kirsten. She's 9 years old. And when she came into service, she said she couldn't see far away. But when we laid hands on her eyes, she took off her glasses and she said she could see even farther
Hallelujah.
Than when she could before. She, glory
you,
to God.
Her eyes.
Praise you, Father. Oh, there was something else. There's always something else. And then she had eczema on her arms. But when she was prayed for, she said that it totally cleared up. And she
Praise
just,
God.
We are believing for her complete
yes,
healing.
Yes,
thank
you, Jesus.
This is Amaria, and she's 9 years old. And she said her neck and leg pain is totally gone.
Hallelujah!
Glory to God. So good. This is Elizabeth Olson. She's 11 years old. And she says that her eyes are totally healed.
Praise God. Thank
Glory
you, Jesus,
God.
For healing those eyes. That's a big smile on her face back there.
This is Jemima. She's 10 years old. She ran around the room and she said that she came in with asthma, but when she's leaving, she said
Hallelujah.
That it's completely
Praise
gone.
The Lord.
Glory to God. And this is Majesty. And she had eczema, but she noticed that the eczema was gone.
Hallelujah.
So, praise
Thank
the Lord.
You, Jesus.
Glory to God. And maybe I just have to testify that when I had some symptoms in my body, and when I was preparing for healing school, the Lord just told me to take hold of that for me.
Amen.
And after healing school, I noticed that all the symptoms, that there was an instant change in my body.
Well,
so,
praise God,
so
healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Lots of testimonies.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we got good testimonies today.
Kathy from Harrisburg, Virginia. And she had a marvelous healing this morning. I'm going to let her tell you,
okay.
Gloria.
I came believing God to heal me of a plexibrae from an auto accident in my back. And when you leaned over, I kept feeling heat. So I just leaned over and all of it.
So when he laid on me, your back was healed? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And all your pain's gone? All the pain's gone?
It's gone. They said there was nothing they could do for a plexibrae. And I'd been believing for my arm to be healed and stuff because it affects your skeleton. And right now, I have no pain at all.
Praise
No way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I had a spinal fusion, so I shouldn't be able to do that at all.
Praise God. You're healed.
Since I left Baltimore at 12 o'clock on Thursday morning, and I pulled in here just as you were praying to begin your service, I had enough sense that the devil was going to attack the most important member of my body. I knew where to go.
Praise God for healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, and he is healed. Take all of it.
Did he say he drove all the way from Baltimore, Lenny?
All the way from Baltimore.
And he just got here this morning. And he got healed this morning.
Glory!
This is Catherine Hinton from Pampa, Texas. And she was in a horse accident and cracked a bone in her ankle. And the doctor said that it just would never heal. It's nothing that could be healed. Then she was in a wheelchair accident and hurt her back and neck. And she's been going to the doctor and she hasn't been able to move her neck or her back. And this morning, when you prayed, she can move her neck. Praise God. I can bend over. I can move my ankle. I couldn't move my ankle without it hurting because it pulled my ankle away from my leg. And when I looked down, I was looking. My foot was over here. My leg was over here. That can't be good. So I kind of pushed it back. And, you know, I had to repent for a lot of things, you know, because I don't know. God just has just totally healed me. And I'm supposed to go to the doctor next week. They've been calling me all week long to come in and start the shots. They've burned all the nerves in my neck and in my back. And I'm supposed to go back in next week to get the shots again for my hip and my neck and back. But I got news for him. When I'm coming back, I'm coming in to give a testimony.
Yes.
And while I was in there, his son was diagnosed with some kind of disease, and he was dying from it. While I was in there, I was able to pray for his son while I was going there, the doctor's son, and his son's healed, completely remission. I said, no, he's healed. And the doctor keeps trying to change my words, and I'm changing his. I am changing his next week. I'm going in, not for shots, but for a testimony to preach to him, to show him that his words have got to line up with the Word of God, and show him what I can do.
Gloria, this is John. He's a dentist from South Carolina, and he had a neck injury that interfered with his work, and I'm going to let him tell you how God touched him.
Hi. The first thing that Ken said called me out. In 1990, I had a neck injury, had surgery on my neck, a disc was removed. I was symptom-free until 2002 when I was rear-ended by a full-size Range Rover going 40 miles an hour. Every symptom that I had had before the surgery returned. My arm went numb. My neck was sore. Went to a neurosurgeon. He said, we can't help you because you've already had surgery. Go to a chiropractor. Go get epidural injections. I did all those things. Got symptom relief. But it still has been affecting me since 2002. And this morning, the very first thing that Ken said, you've got a neck issue. It was caused by a car accident. And I claimed it. I'm healed.
Praise God. Amen. Good. Hallelujah.
A lineman football player, and in the seventh grade, he injured his knee. The doctor said they couldn't do much, just, you know, live with it. And he's been in pain for 3 years, clicking noise when he tried to climb stairs, which he couldn't do. And now he can wiggle his leg and everything.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We have Caitlin here today. As you prayed the prayer, faith, she experienced a healing in her body, and I just let her tell you about it right now.
Earlier this week, I was attacked with cold symptoms. I knew the devil did not want me to be here at this Believers' Convention. And one day I was at home, and I was sneezing nonstop. And one time I sneezed, and my neck popped, and I felt this terrible pain in my neck and stiffness. And I came to the Believers' Convention believing that I'd be healed from that. And I immediately started confessing that I'm healed. I said, thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed and made whole. And earlier this week, I was healed from those cold symptoms. And then today, he healed my neck.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Hallelujah.
He is a healer.
Yeah, hi, Gloria. This is Arlo Allen from Maryland. He was in an accident while he was here. He was hit with a brick, and he's a musician. He was knocked out, taken to JPS Hospital, which is right down in Fort Worth, and his hearing, he lost his hearing in his left ear. When you prayed, you told everyone to get up and believe and pray. His ear popped. He can hear perfectly now. Hallelujah.
But not only, it's while you were preaching the word. That's when I was healed.
Yeah. Amen.
Before you prayed, I was here, and I planted a seed by Tuesday for my healing. I just praised God for it. While you were teaching the word of God, and that is the word of God. While when they heard the word, they were healed.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, hey, I want to. Now, did I hear right? He was hit with a brick at the Believers' Convention. Thank the Lord, he got healed, so he doesn't go home and tell people I got hit with a brick at the Believers' Convention. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Miss Gloria, this is Anne Franklin from Dallas. Her husband passed away a few years ago, and so she's been the only one at the house lifting up heavy boxes and things of that nature. She tore her rotator cuff in three places, and I want her to tell you what's happened today.
Well, I tore the rotator cuff, and the doctor said that he would repair both the front and the back, and then the side one was so damaged that he said, I'd just cut it loose and let it go. He said, they aren't successful. Well, I've used my arm, and I didn't have the surgery. And I've used my arm, but I've not been able to raise my arm until a while ago. And they're all the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Kathy?
Boy, you and Kenneth have the back demons on the run this morning. We got another back healing. This is Cynthia from Broken Arrow, and she had a car accident. And tell us what happened.
Well, I was in an accident, and I had three bulging discs in my neck and four bulging discs in my low back, and I've been in a lot of pain, and they said that there was nothing they could do until it burst to do surgery, so I just had to live with it. And I've been standing on the word and doing a lot of traveling, and like, Lord, in order to do what you've called me to do, I've got to be healthy. So I've been claiming my scriptures and everything, and I was standing back there believing that I received. And then when Ken had that word and you leaned over and he laid his hand on your back and prayed, my back got so hot and the pain all went away, and I can lean over.
Hallelujah. Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
Miss Gloria, this is Jace, and he had neck and back pain problems. And when Brother Kenneth had that word, he said he knew the Lord spoke to him. He had to engage. He had to commit to what Brother Kenneth said, and then he knew he had to testify of it. So
I felt like I had to come up here and just share because God was all over me. And when Brother Copeland spoke about the neck, and then he you bent over and he started praying for your back, the Spirit of God came all over me. I just couldn't sit in my chair anymore. I had to come up here and share that God been touching me. I believe I've received that healing. In
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
This is Diane Spillers from West Monroe, Louisiana. She has had a stroke. She's been diagnosed with arterial ischemic spasms of the heart and head. And because of all this, she's just having a loss of energy. She's had blood clots. Just numerous things have happened in her body, and it's just interrupted her life. She hasn't been able to live like she should. And she has been suffering for about 5 years from a surgery she had a while back. And today, this week, when Mr. Driscoll blew the shofar, she felt healing coming into her body. And today, when Mr. Copeland said complete restoration of bones, she has had fusing.
I have fusions of the cervical and the lumbar spine, and I was healed. I suffered 5.5 years after the car accident, and my heart's prayer, the sweetness of the Lord is this. I felt like I received the healing I came from. I've been life-altered with the stroke, And when Brother Driscoll blew, I felt like I'd received. In Louisiana, we call this lagniappe. And when I came today, it was lagniappe because my heart's prayer has been that my bones that were fused would be restored back to me, because I could move them after I was healed, but felt resistance in my neck. And I feel absolutely nothing at all. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Sister Gloria, this is Linda, and she's from Dallas, Texas. And she also has suffered from a neck injury years ago that has kind of just progressed through her body. She said just pain all different places in her body, and just uncomfortable every morning when she wakes up. She just experiences it and has to work through it. Well, today, when you started talking about engaging your faith, she just took hold. And she said she just knows and believes that she's completely healed. She has extreme relief throughout her whole body.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. God is a good God.
Sister Glory, this is Cheryl from Oxon Hill, Maryland. And she had swelling in her jaw at the beginning of the week. She was actually sitting here. The devil didn't want her to hear the word, and he caused pain in her jaw and her head. And when you prayed, what happened?
When the word was coming forth, I received my healing. I wasn't expecting to receive the complete manifestation. And within a few minutes, the full manifestation of my healing, the swelling, the pain, the head is gone. And I do walk in divine healing. Praise God.
Thank you.
We have Vince here this morning, and the power of God has definitely been manifesting in his body. Just tell him what has happened to you.
2 days before, I got two things to tell you that healed today. 2 days before Christmas, I got bucked off a horse and got thrown pretty high and came down on my left knee and all my weight on top of it and tore the cartilage and tissue on the right side of my kneecap. And I went to the doctor and he said I wasn't going to be fully able to use it and kneel on it for a full year. No pain at all.
Thank you, Lord.
I've tried before. And you know what? And I had that doubt in my heart. After he said, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to use it for a year. But here recently, I'm like, no, I rebuked that. Because I know. Because I mean, the kind of work I do, I need my knee. And I've had the only knee on this one. And I just praise God that I'd heal. And then back in June, I was in a car wreck. I was supposed to be dead. And it's a miracle, God, I'm standing here right now. And I hit a gas line barrier. I went to a barbed wire fence. And hit a gas line barrier, a 4-inch metal pipe, hit it at 50 miles an hour, hit me on the side of the head. Mm-hmm. Hit right here where the muscle is when you open your jaw and your foot flexing, hit right there. I wasn't able to open my mouth all the way because of that. I can open it, no pain.
You're healed.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord, for healing that young man.
Gloria, this is Bernard from Tennessee, but he's moved to Fort Worth. And in his job, he lifts a lot of heavy boxes. And Bernard, would you tell Gloria what happened?
Well, for the last couple of months, I've been having a lot of soreness and stiffness in my knees. And all for the last 2 months, I've been limping in my right leg. But after you prayed for me this morning, I received my healing. I can lift in my knee. There's no soreness. And I'm not even limping anymore. And I thank God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Gloria, when Brother Kenneth was talking about weight and claiming that deliverance from weight and making that commitment to God. We have several people here who have claimed that. We have Delton from Odessa, Texas. We have Paul from Crandall, Texas. Rose from Massachusetts. Shirley from Atoka, Oklahoma. And Kathy from Vernon, Texas. All of them here, and they had other symptoms that went along with it that they believe were healed today. But they all are claiming that gift of being free
Amen.
From weight. And so
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the plan. Glory to God. Thank you that they're healed, delivered, free.
Michael. This is David Jones from Dallas, Texas. And in 02, he was diagnosed with degenerative disc disease. And he's just had severe pain since then, his back. And then he re-injured his back lifting a TV. And he came here this week. His wife asked him to come, and he came here. And he woke up this morning, and he turned to his wife, and he said, I have no pain in my back.
Praise God.
Well, then he came into service, and he was sitting, and he started getting some back spasms. And as soon as you prayed, he just said he felt his spine just straighten up and regenerated in his
spine.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Lots of back. This. Wow, that's great.
Miss Gloria, this is Janice. And beginning of the first year, she's had digestive problems plus osteoporosis. And she's, go ahead.
When you were, first of all, God woke me up at 2 o'clock last night. I was not planning on coming here. I had a hairdresser's appointment. I was not planning on coming. And the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock last night and made it clear to me that I needed to be here. And when you were talking about the, because these digestive problems are relatively new disorders, that new diagnosis, you said that the curse covered diseases that were not, because I'd looked under the curse and it wasn't in there. And when you said that, I knew that was from the Lord. And then when you talked about healing in the bones, I just received it. And I know I'm healed.
Praise
and I thank God for it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your healing.
Wonderful.
Yes, this is Carolyn Franklin from Delaware. She was helping someone in the parking lot on Tuesday, and she fell on the curb, twisted her ankle, hurt her foot and her leg. It was swollen. She had an ACE bandage on it, black and blue. It is totally healed. The swelling has gone down. It's perfect.
Amen.
When you prayed, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
She had been limping, and she's totally, totally restored.
Thank you, Lord.
Also, when Kenneth prayed for you and had you bend over, she was totally delivered and healed from symptoms of cramping and pains in her hip and her leg, because she had had a surgery where she had a tumor on her spinal cord. And even though it was removed successfully, she's continued to have these symptoms, and she is totally healed. No more pain.
Praise
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
One of the things I wanted to say is I wasn't going to come to a believers conference and go back home and said I got hurt. So when I got hurt, I said, in the name of Jesus, when I go home, I'm going to be even better shape than I was when I got here. And so yesterday when Kenneth said, you can start receiving your healing now, I declared that I was going to wear sandals, no support, and that I was going to be healed. And I was. And I thank God.
Thank God.
I am. Yes. And my back, even though God really blessed me with a good neurosurgeon, because they said it could have either killed me or caused me to be handicapped because it was your major nerve for your left leg, every so often whenever I bent down, I'd get cramps, strap cramps in my leg, and the leg would fatigue sometimes and cause me to just really be kind of limp. And today when Kenneth said about the spinal cords and about the nerves, and you bent over, I bent over, and I did all the things that I did that would cause it to cramp, and I was fine. I felt wonderful.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Boy, bodies are being worked over today.
Sister Gloria, this is Janae from Fort Worth. I don't think she really wants to say anything,
okay.
But if you want to, you certainly can. But she's part of the Altar Care Ministry. She's only been here for 6 months. She moved from Pastor Keith Moore's church, and now she's going to Eagle Mountain. And, yes, she's part of the Altar Care Ministry.
Praise
this
God.
Week. Yesterday, she twisted her ankle. It was very excruciating pain. She was stiff. She couldn't move. And she said, I've got to get to the service. She limped here. And she said, when you prayed earlier, that you said, do something that you couldn't do before. Mm-hmm. And she just began to engage her faith. And okay. She can totally, she has no pain, no
Praise
stiffness.
God.
Her ankle is completely healed.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good, good, good.
Randy?
Sister Gloria, this represents a crutch that she has in the car, and she walked up here without this, and she had been diagnosed. This is Valerie from Houston, Texas, and she was diagnosed with degenerative knee disease. She has no cartilage in her knees, and I want her to tell you what happened
okay.
to her.
Well, what happened was when Kenneth said about making a commitment to the Lord, if you work with him, he'll work with you. And the Lord told me a year and a half ago to believe him to be healed of arthritis and to believe him to restore the cartilage in my knees. And when he said that, and I told the Lord I would make that commitment to work with him, yeah. The pain, I was in a lot of pain. And I was using my cane because it was just hurting really bad. Worse than it's ever hurt. And the pain went completely. But I didn't want to come up here because I didn't have the complete manifestation. But the Lord told me to come up here anyway. And I'm going to walk through this
thing. The Lord's already working with you. You just made that decision and he's already working. Glory to God. Good job, Jesus.
Praise Hallelujah.
God. Praise God.
Glory,
it's
we
good
have
to
a.
Obey God when he tells you to do something.
Amen. We have Alicia here today from Iowa. And she says when you prayed, that she just felt the power of God come upon her, and she had been suffering from psoriasis, and so she thanked God for her healing. Amen.
Amen.
I was told that if I came here, that when you prayed, I would be healed. Amen. And God told me when you prayed that I was healed.
Praise.
And that I needed to come and tell you that I was healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her healing. You're so good. Praise Candy. God.
Gloria, this is Renee from Tallahassee, Florida. And 10 years ago, she had a terrible fall, and she's been in pain for 10 years.
That is 10 years too long.
It is. Tell all the things you've had done.
I had a bad fall, and I'm hydroplaned. I've had occupational therapy. I've had acupuncture. I have water therapy. I've had, you name it, I had it. And I had 3 back surgeries.
Wow.
And
you were on a lot of pain medication.
And I've been on pain medication for 10 years, and I've been to like 5 meetings. And I've come low in spirit.
Now, I want to say something right here. I want to say something before you finish. She has a friend that is the kind of friend to have.
Yes, Doretha Jackson. She's right there. She's my best friend in the whole wide world.
And tell what this friend did for you.
I was low in spirit, and she said, you know what? You need to come to this meeting. She put my plane ticket on her credit card. She paid for my hotel room to come. She's the best friend in the whole wide world. She's right there, Doretha. And she said, you need to be here. So my husband said, go. And so we left, and we got here Sunday. And we've been in every meeting.
Right.
But let me tell you this. You know, I take handful of medicine all the time to mess with my stomach. And I called my husband. I call him every day. And I said, Sly, I said, I haven't had to take all that medicine. I didn't even realize that I haven't taken the medicine since I've been here. I'm on a high for Jesus, and he healed me, and I didn't even know it. I wasn't even taking the medicine. Praise God. You know, so God is
true. Pain free now?
I'm pain free. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pain free.
Praise God.
You had two good friends, that lady and Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Miss Gloria, this is Dana from Houston. And when you and Brother Kenneth were praying earlier, she said she was just happy for other people to be healed. But her feet, she has plantar fascia, and every time she would walk, she said it feels like stepping on glass. Mm. And she believes something very special happened to her, and I want her to tell it to you.
Hi. It's not a lot to say. I'm grateful to God. When Brother Copeland was talking about the accident, and after the prayer, and God had just been dealing with me about a couple other things, but I was so grateful, and all of a sudden, when he got ready to leave, I didn't feel anything in my feet. Just to stand on my feet was hurting me so bad. And my husband was praying with me. And I said, Lord, I want to be able to share. I don't want to deal in doubt and unbelief that you can't heal me. And so just all of a sudden it just went away.
Amen.
And I'm just grateful.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
This is Jeannie from Fort Worth. And she was in a car accident a year ago. She's had severe pain in her back and neck. It continued just to get stiff. It got to the point where she couldn't stand. She couldn't bend over. And she also has had a dark spot on her heart. The doctors want to do a very invasive test on her, and it's been sore. She had an episode, and it's been sore. And this morning when you prayed, she can move her neck without turning her body, and she doesn't have any pain in her heart. Praise God.
The Lord.
Amen.
Thank
Excellent.
You, Jesus. Wonderful.
This is Jeri from New Mexico, and 7 years ago, she had an accident. A lot of things shattered in her body, but she got
horse riding accident. A horse riding accident, thrown, just broken body in the woods. God found me. God healed me. He restored my lung. I don't even have a scar on my lung any longer from all the broken ribs crushing my lung.
He's restored me one piece at a time. He restarted healing me in the woods when I was just left broken. Amen. God just kept on saying, this is silly that you limp and wear this band on your leg. This is just downright silly. I received my completed healing today. I will never wear that band again. I've got a job to do for Jesus, and I need a perfect whole body because I'm gone from God's silly girl to God's warrior.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Hallelujah. Gloria, this is Harlan from Kansas. Came all the way from Kansas. Hallelujah. In the mid-80s, he was in a motorcycle accident, and his spine was bent and curved inward. When you told the people to stand up and pray, you prayed over them. He felt the anointing power come all over his spinal cord, his back. He said that it was bent, and now it's straight. He feels totally healed, and he's giving God all the glory for it. Hallelujah.
Sister Gloria, this is Doris, and she's in Fort Worth right now living with her daughter because she's had difficulty standing. She's really for 2 to 2.5 to 3 years, she's had problems progressively. But in the last 6 months, she has fallen 6 times, and she's really has not been able to stand on her own without holding on to something until today. And she wants to tell you about it.
Glory to God.
In the last 3 years, I have had 4 deaths in my family. But the main thing is I've had problems with my legs for probably 29 years. But they've never been bad like this to where I couldn't walk without help. If I have to have a cane, and even with a cane, sometimes I fall. This morning, I have fell twice already this morning. And I can't get up by myself. I have to have someone to get me up.
Thank you.
But praise God, and I could not stand this long in a line I don't even know how many years that I could not stand this long without sitting down, leaning against something, or somebody holding me up. But praise God, I'm here today.
Hallelujah.
Today I am healed by the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Got a good God.
Glory to God. Thank you,
there,
Lord, for your healing mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
To give to the Lord, for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Steve, go ahead and bring those up that are in line right now, and then that'll be all we'll take. Just go ahead and bring them all up.
Okay, we have Amber here. Amber's from Dallas, and she's been suffering from TMJ, which has to do with the jaw, the clicking of the jaw. Mm-hmm. And she said, as Brother Copeland began to talk this morning about eating, that she said she wanted to get rid of this, and God healed her of it this morning. Praise the Lord.
Well, actually, first of all, I want to say I was going to sit on this testimony until I saw my baby girl over there. She came up. She was one of the ones who had pain in the neck and leg, and she dances. So I know she's had it, and so I was like, I can't sit on it. But anyway, I've had TMJ, which is a jaw condition that I've had for a while, and your jaw, it clicks and pops, and my jaw is kind of offline, so it, you know, it's pain in the neck and the jaw, and then it eventually in the head, and just suffer for it for a long time. But anyway, what he was trying to say was, when Brother Copeland was talking about eating and hunger, and I was thinking, oh, I really am hungry, so I usually keep something in my purse, so I had some almonds in my purse, and I sat down, and, you know, and usually nuts and things that you have to chew on hard is what sets it off and makes it hurt really bad, so I was sitting down eating, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't feel the clicking and the popping in my jaw. And so I just thank God. I mean, I prayed a long time ago because they say it's really expensive to treat, and I just believe God
thank
for my
you,
healing
Lord.
A long time ago, and it's manifested today.
I believe
today.
You. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that she won't have to go through that.
This is Michelle. She's 12 years old. This is her mother, Arlene. They're both from Austin. She was diagnosed with scoliosis, and during the prayer today, I wanted to tell you what she felt was happening.
During the prayer today, my back, where it's really severe, I felt it go in a crack in a straight line, and now I don't have any more pain.
Amen.
Praise God! Hallelujah! Isn't that great? Thank thank you, Lord, for your healing. Lord, we thank you for those good testimonies. Glory to God. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Those of you that are in faith, believe in God, you believed, you've received, and you've not yet noticed any difference. That doesn't mean you're not already healed, but you've not yet noticed any difference. And you would, if you believe that you desire hands to be laid on you, and if you're willing to release your faith when hands are laid on you, we will do that if you'll just go to both sides. And you know, it's not necessary. I mean, you can just stay right. You can believe God without hands being laid on you. But if you feel that that would, you know, that you want that, that's another thing Jesus told us to do, lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And I expect every person in this line to come up here be saying, when hands are laid on me, I am recovered. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're all going to pray for you, everybody out, you audience, you pray and believe God with us, and we'll lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We pray over every person coming up right now. I bring them up to the throne of grace, and I release my faith that every person upon whom we lay our hands is totally healed in Jesus' name. Help them, Lord. I know you've done your thing. You help them to receive their healing in the name of Jesus. You're the healer, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Ken, is Ken up here?
He's down here.
Let's like